We are the students of Dr. Banubhai Nanavati College of Pharmacy and the student council members of Public Health Office. Our committee attempts to create social awareness about the various aspects of health among the general public. We are the members of Public Health Office and today is the World Stroke Day. On this occasion, we would like to interview you and know your experiences about the stroke sufferings. So, Mr. Divish is an independent journalist from Siliguri, West Bengal. He is a 37-year-old stroke survivor. It was 4 years ago when he was 32 when he suffered a hemorrhagic stroke while working out at his office gym in Bangalore. He has impaired motor skills of his left hand and has a limp when he walks in the left leg. So life has changed after that incident, but he has more than what has happened to him. Today, he takes the day as it comes, but he is working on his full recovery. Mr. Divish, if you are comfortable about talking this, can you tell us what kind of stroke did you suffer from?
Yeah, hi guys. I suffered a hemorrhagic stroke. There was a basal ganglia bleed. So yes, I was working out in my office gym. It was a regular day, Tuesday around 5:36. Okay. Then I collapsed while I was doing a bench press. Okay. And then I remember waking up 2 days later, our surgery was done and all that. That's what I recollect. So I had a major massive hemorrhagic stroke on my right side of the brain. And my left side got affected. Okay, so initially it was very that's what it was, and then it's been like around 4 years now, and I'm not fully recovered, I would say, because my hand is not recovered. I walk a lot, but I cannot do fine motors with my hand, with my left hand. My right hand is fine. My left hand, I have some difficulties. Okay, so it's very stiff. Yeah, but still, I've joined back gym again, so I'm still gymming.
Wow, that's great. That's so great.
Yeah. So since I live alone, so I do everything, household stuff and everything on my own. Yeah, but you see, there are some difficulties with my hand. It's not that free.
Yeah. All right. But that's very brave of you, starting gym again.
Yes.
Yes, that's great. So what was the situation like when you had a stroke, and were you able to get an access to a hospital immediately?
Yes, I could, because since I was in a safe zone, no, I was in my office. So there were people working out with me in my office gym. And I should say this because my boss, Mr. Rahul Bidappa, he's a very smart man. He knew medical things. So he took me to the hospital. So I was working in a very big news agency based out of Bangalore, and around 4 kilometers away from my office, there was Manipal Hospital. So thankfully my luck was good, so they could rush me to the hospital, and then I got a very good neurosurgeon. And he operated me. Thankfully, everything went well after that.
Okay, sir. So, as we know, after a person suffers a stroke, we have impaired body physical functions. So can you tell us, like, how did you get through that and how is your process of recovery?
Okay, see, firstly, like, I was on physiotherapy for 2 years. Okay, and now I live in Siliguri, so I do not have access to pretty, you know, like advanced physiotherapy or, you know, this, what do you call this, functional therapy, OT, you know, occupational therapies. So yeah, in that case, what I realized that, you know, I have to do things like how I used to do earlier. So things in the sense like home-based stuff, you see. So I started doing small things, like, you know, trying to hold the broom and everything. And I'm always a right-handed person. So what happens is, you know, when I suffered an impairment in my left side, so the body gradually started forgetting about the left side, because I was always a right-hand dominated person. So I started working out more on the right, but then that was a very bad thing, which I shouldn't have done. I think my recovery would have been more faster if I had concentrated more on my left hand side. Yeah.
So how did it affect you mentally after stroke?
Oh my God, don't tell me about mentally. I went through a lot of anxiety. Yeah, anxiety was there because you see, I was very physically active. I was into cycling, working out. Like you could say I was kind of a gym rat. Okay, I wanted to be fit and in a proper shape. And then all of a sudden, you know, like in a second's time, you wake up, you know, with a disability. Life takes a 360-degree turn, emotionally as well as physically. But then, you know, when life gives you lemon, you have to make out lemonade out of it. So I thought rather than cribbing and, you know, I thought rather than cribbing and crying about what I have now, I think I should utilize and make the best use of what I have now. So I, it was mentally, I was very much affected, but then I would like to say, I have a very strong family system here. My mother, my sister. Unfortunately, I lost my mother in like the end of this year, 2020, December. But yeah, then I have my biggest period of support. That's my sister. Yeah. She's like my friend and like we are partners in crime. So yeah, she's always there to support me whenever I'm down, you know. And yeah, I think family matters a lot when you suffer from any kind of diseases. It not necessarily stroke, but any diseases, there should be somebody, you know, that you can hang on to. And in my case, it was my sister and my family.
That's so great, sir. So can you tell us, like, what were your sources of motivation? Like, what activities did you try doing to keep yourself motivated?
Because I'll share you one incident, okay? So I had this craniotomy surgery in Bangalore, okay? So when I was admitted, after the stroke, you know, when the wound was cleaned, and then I had a craniotomy surgery a month later. So that time I was pretty okay. I went in a wheelchair, and I was in senses when I was admitted to the hospital. Okay. So I remember it was 3 a.m. in the morning, and my surgery was supposed to be around midday. Okay. So I couldn't sleep that night, and because of a patient, he was in the other bed. And he was crying and shouting to the nurse all night. Okay. And so around 6:30, when the nurse came to check my, you know, vitals and give me medicines, I asked her that, why is this fellow crying? He disturbed me throughout the night. So he told me that he was a diabetic, and he had this gangrene in one or two of his legs. Okay. And that day morning, his leg was supposed to be amputated. I think it was the, you know, the frustration with which she was shouting and, you know, shouting out to that nurse. Then I said, oh, yeah, fine. At least I have my two legs with me. At least his legs are going to go now. In a matter of few months and few years, I think I'll be able to walk and, you know, do whatever I can. But look at this person. He's losing his leg. So I think that day I realized, you know, that I think that person was a big motivation for me. I don't know his name or where he lives and how he's doing right now. But yeah, that person was, I thought that I should take some lesson from him. And that motivated me a lot.
Right, sir, right. So can you tell us, like, the caregivers of the stroke survivors, what things can they do to keep the people motivated? Like in your case, if your sister was one of the person who cared for you, can you tell us some incidents, like how they cared for you?
Caring, this is initially, you know, when I was unable to wear my shirt. Okay, so that was the first thing, you know, that the first hit which I got, because, you know, when a person who's able-bodied and when you are handled by after you lose the senses of your hand or leg, whatever, and then you're unable to do basic things like wear a shirt, and then your family comes in and supports, you know. So these are smaller things, and these are the points where you lose your hope and you go completely downhill. And these are the moments, you know, where people should be very sensitive about. And they should say, okay, fine, you're not able to do it right now, but maybe in a month's time, you'll be able to do it. So that right, kind of support, sir, is very, very important. Yeah.
Right, sir. Very right.
So,
okay, so regarding support, no? Yeah, please go on.
Were there a history of strokes in your family, or you are alone?
Oh, yes. I have a history of stroke. My grandfather suffered a stroke. My grandmother suffered a stroke. My mother also suffered a stroke. She was a young stroke survivor, and she died not because of stroke, because she died of something else. Okay, and so I think I was genetically, it was supposed to happen to me.
So you were ready for it, like you knew that you would suffer from something?
No,
like
of course not. Of course not. But I knew that, you know, not so early. Yeah, some way or the other, stroke would have come, but not at the age of 32, when I was like in a super fit stage, because I used to smoke and drink earlier, but it took me almost like 4 years. I had completely off cigarettes or, you know, alcohol, and I was on a very fitness regime, and diet was also okay, decent diet I was taking. Yeah, but you know, in my case, I think it was, you know, I was not a good sleeper, and plus my shifts were like very erratic. Okay, and I used to work in the night, sleep in the day. So yeah, sleep was a major factor. So my doctor, when I spoke to him later, he told me that I was hypertensive and hyperactive.
Okay, disturbed sleep cycle.
Oh yes, completely. So I think that resulted, when I was working out, I think that shot up my blood pressure. And
actually, yeah, sir. So actually, this is like a part of the majority of the teenage generations. Even majority of us have like a disturbed sleep cycle nowadays.
Yeah. And you know, I would like to use this platform to tell something about stroke survivors support group. Okay. So I have formed a support group. It's a WhatsApp support group. Okay. So we are around 30 to 35 odd people, men and women both, all young guys and girls, women, men and women, who are part of this support group. And so we share our videos, we talk like on a personal basis, and we share whatever motivational thing that we can do, you know, like to motivate each other. So that's a very interesting platform. And you know, whoever are interested, then they can directly DM me.
Yes, sir.
Write to me, sure. Email, yeah. And then we can loop them in the group.
Yes, sir. Sir, can you tell us?
A very nice initiative to keep each other motivated.
Yeah, the people, when you find relatable people and relatable stuff, it gets easier.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Because, you know, there are many things which I won't be able to tell my sister or a doctor or a person in my family, which I can tell it to my stroke buddies. You know, stroke survivor buddies. So yeah, the smaller things only he or she can understand, not the other, generally other people will understand.
Right, sir. Can you tell us about, like, who are the health specialists that are involved in the recovery process?
I would say firstly my neurosurgeon, Dr. Praveen Genigi from Manipal Hospital, Bangalore. And my first physiotherapist was very, very important, because Kishoreji from Bangalore again. So he was quite helpful. And then later on, I took therapy from a lot of other guys. So they were the first hand support which I got. And then the family, of course.
So did they prescribe you any particular diet or exercise routine?
Not diet, but yes, exercise was there.
So can you name some like facial exercises if you used any of them?
See, my face was pretty okay when I had a stroke, okay? Because it was not, when typically it happens, the face gets twisted, no? That was not the case in my thing, okay? So we started with hand and upper extremity and lower extremity exercises, normal PT. And yeah, then gradually, you know, like small, like I used to walk inside the room, and the room became my apartment, and the apartment became my, you know, the lane connecting my house, this road, you know. So then gradually I started walking outside on the main road.
Right, sir.
Yeah, that was the process. And then stair walking coming down was also there, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sir, are there any tips you would want to share with people who have suffered a stroke are in the early stages of their recovery?
Yeah, I mean, if you know that you have a history of stroke, then you should be very, very careful about your, you know, your vitals and your health conditions. That is a very, very, very first primary thing, okay? And secondly is, even if you get a stroke, okay, don't lose hope, because there is life ahead of stroke. If you survive a stroke, then life doesn't end, because you know there are so many grave diseases that are still fighting and struggling. But then giving up is not a choice, you know?
Right, sir. So can you give a message to like the families of the people who have just survived a stroke? Like any message to
the
families?
Yes. Yeah, family comes first, okay? Whenever there's a survivor in the family, first thing is sensitivity. Second thing is stroke recovery needs patience and time, you see. Second thing is patience. So you have to give that person, he or she, time to heal and recover. And suppose if there is no full recovery, like around 30, 40, 50%, whatever is the amount of recovery, you should respect that. And, you know, you should never, you know, encourage that. There is always a chance further, you know.
So how will you guide people to build positivity after a stroke?
Because the stroke is not the end of the life. You see, if you are alive, if you have survived a stroke, then I think you can survive many more other things in life. Because you know what happens in stroke, you know what happens in stroke, you're not falling in the category of a fully disabled, the cool fully disabled people, and they're also not in the category of fully able body people. So you're in the midway. So you have to, firstly, acceptance is a very, very important thing. So you have to accept whatever your condition is and then try to work on it. And secondly, you know, what I realized in my journey of stroke recovery, initially I should think that, okay, fine, I'll be completely recovered and then I will do this thing. Then I'll do that thing. You know, we plan in life, no? Ki main jab pura theek ho jaunga, toh main job join karunga. Main pura theek ho jaunga, main ghumne jaunga Siddhi Vinayak. But then I thought, you know, after like 2 years, I thought that, no, I should not be waiting. You never know what happens next. So I thought, whatever is the recovery, whatever amount of recovery I have, if I can do that thing, why not? So firstly, I started working, like, because job is very important, you know. Money should be there. Money should be flowing. And once that artery of money is cut, no, you become very dependent. Physically, no more than physically, become financially dependent on a person. And that's dangerous, to be financially dependent on anybody. Okay, so firstly is that if you can work, please work. You know, in the group,
yes,
no, we have people in the group, in my support group, where people started working from 6 months. I took 2 years to work. But there are people, yeah, they're working in big IT companies like TCS and all that. And they are working immediately after like 6 or 7 months of their stroke journey.
So, talking about financial aspects, can you tell us like, how did you manage your finances? And is it like affordable for a lower class of the society? Like after they get a stroke, how is the stroke recovery process affect financially?
When I had a stroke, I had a couple of insurances. So the surgery part was taken care of. But post-surgery, when the rehabilitation thing comes, it was my saving and my father's, you know, money, which helped me to go through for at least for 2 years. And once I started freelancing, then, you know, I could roll the ball myself.
Right, sir.
So I guess we are done with the questions.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for being with us. You're such an inspiration. Like listening to all your answers, we're like motivated right now.